his time, when the temple was built, even before his time, the cornerstone in a building was usually the biggest stone that was laid down. It was the first stone in a building that was laid down. There was nothing else before it. So it had quite a bit of significance when they would lay the stone down. Today, cornerstones, I don't know if this church even has a cornerstone. Does it have one somewhere with someone's name on it? Somewhere in the back. All right. So cornerstones today is not all that significant, because usually it's got the person who, maybe it was the pastor or the person who gave the most money to the church, whatever, they would put his name and the date on it. But that was really what today cornerstones meant. But in Jesus' time, these were not ceremonial things. Stones that was there for a very specific purpose. You see, when that stone that was cut 100% correctly, accurately, they would bring the stone to the site where this new building was going to be built. And they would put this cornerstone in exactly the right position. It had to line up, the height and the angle and the level, everything of the stone had to be in the right place. So that all building that happened after the stone has been laid down would use this specific stone as the standard for building. They would use this stone, this cornerstone, to make sure that horizontally they build in the correct line. They would use this stone to make sure that when they build up, they use this stone as the standard to build by. If they don't constantly go back to that cornerstone and make sure that they're building straight, your building was going to be crooked. And it's amazing how correct the buildings were in those days. When you look at some of the buildings, how amazingly they built. Now, what do we learn from that? We learn from the story that Jesus should be that kind of foundation in our lives. He's the one that was laid down first. When we build, whatever we build in our life, do not use him constantly. As the cornerstone and as the standard by which we build, we will fail in our building process. Friends, it's so important. I was just thinking, building horizontally, they had to make sure that they line up everything horizontally with this cornerstone. Maybe if we want to make it a little bit spiritual for us, how do we build horizontally in our lives? In other words, our relationship with other people around us. Jesus must become the standard that we use in our relationships. In whatever kind of relationship you build, Jesus needs to be the standard. He was put there for a purpose in our lives. When we build horizontally in our lives, when we go up in our relationship with God, there's no way, Scripture says, that we can relate with God without the work that Christ has done in our lives. Friends, Jesus is the cornerstone to life. Without Jesus, there is no life. So let us just reflect quickly these standards. The standard, what does it mean, the standard? The first thing is that Jesus is life. Friends, we cannot have anything except if we have. Jesus came and he was an example to us in the way that he lived on this earth. He set an example for us, a standard for us in which we should live our lives. How we should treat other people. How we should relate with the Father. How we should worship. What are the priorities in our lives? Jesus taught us all of that. But he went further and he put down a further standard for our lives. And that we sang tonight in some of these songs, and that has to do with his life that is given on the cross. That the life that you and I have is by his grace. That is his standard for the life that we have. The standard is not my own performance. It's not how well I can worship and how well I can read Scripture or how well I can interpret Scripture. None of these things. The standard is Christ that laid down his life for us. That is the standard that we build on. A second bit of that standard God gave us in his word. I was reminded when Jesus sent his disciples out to go and make disciples, what did he tell them to go and do? He said, therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything that I've... Friends, we cannot build if we do not build on the Word of God. We will fail in our relationships with people around us, and we'll fail in our relationship with God. This is crucial for us to build our lives. And then the last part of that standard that Jesus set for us, he said to us, I'm not going to leave you alone. He sent his Holy Spirit to work in our lives. And the Holy Spirit in many ways is there to help us to constantly align our lives with that cornerstone that was laid, and which is the foundation for our lives. The Spirit reminds us, the Bible says, the Spirit guides us, the Spirit comforts us, and the Spirit teaches us. And the Spirit never teaches anything but the standard that was laid down for each one of us. We need to listen. We need to hear when the Spirit speaks to us. There's a second lesson that we can learn from this story that Peter wrote. In verse 4 it says, as you come to him, the living stone. This says a lot to us about our relationship. How do we relate to this corner? As you come to him. I think in the context of this passage, we know that we come to him in an attitude of worship. When we have our eyes fixed on Jesus as the cornerstone in our lives, we do it in full worship. But we also do it in relationship. As you come to him, we come to God in relationship. It's not a religion with all sorts of rules and regulations we follow, but it's a relationship that we have with the living Father, with the living stone, with the cornerstone in our lives. It's interesting that the verb that is used here in Greek, the verb to come, is used in such a way that it speaks about a habitual, continual coming to God. Isn't that beautiful? So as you come to him, as you make a habit continually coming to the cornerstone, that's when we find the life and the measure in our lives that we need to build in. Friends, it is so important for us. And I'm guilty of this so many times in my life, that I storm forward, I build forward, I continue because there's such a lot of work to be done. But am I making a habit of continually coming to Jesus in my life? That's why God put him there in our lives, so that you and I can come to him. Friends, the relationship that we have with Jesus does not depend on a once-off commitment that we made many years ago. Our relationship with God depends on habitually, continually coming to him, the living stone in our lives. Scripture says to us that he is a living stone. He is the always and forever alive stone. Friends, he is the rock of our salvation, the source of life, and that whoever puts their trust in him will live and have eternal life. In this passage, we also sadly see that there are people who reject Jesus as the cornerstone in their lives. There are people who reject him. I don't know where you are tonight. I don't know if you're in a place where you're looking at the cornerstone in worship or whether you still doubt. But the Bible warns us here that Jesus becomes a stumbling block if you do not follow him as the cornerstone in your life. It's so interesting, you know, that many of the attacks against Christianity today, what is the first thing they attack? It's the lordship of Christ. You can see that in Islam. You can see this in Hinduism and Buddhism. You see it in most of these things that Jesus is the first person they attack. Why? Because if Jesus is no longer God, then there's nothing to build on. It's almost as if it removes the cornerstone from our lives, that which we build our lives on. Friends, we need to make sure in our following of Christ that He stays there as the cornerstone in our lives. That we will not be shaken by all sorts of other philosophies in the world around us, but that Jesus needs to stay the cornerstone in our lives. Some people say, did He really live? Did He really die? Did He really rise up and live in heaven? Other people say to us today that He's a prophet or He's a guru. Some will say to us, He was just a man like us, but He was a good man. Friends, I remember years ago, my wife Doreen, she came out of a Hindu family. And one of her aunts on her dad's side of the family, one of her aunts was a priestess, a Hindu priestess. And she was quite a powerful lady in their community. Thrived on that times when she was possessed by whatever she was possessed by. But I remember one of the sad stories with, they used to call her Big Mother. One of the sad stories with Big Mother's, she died with a picture of Jesus next to her on the wall, without acknowledging Him as the cornerstone in her life. Doreen asked her about this picture at one stage, and she said, no, she had several dreams where this man appeared to her, where Jesus appeared to her and said that she needs to worship Him. And all she did is she went to the shop, probably to a nice Catholic shop, because it was a nice Catholic picture up there, and she got a picture of Jesus, you know, those typical Catholic pictures of Jesus. And she put this picture amongst Hanuman and amongst all the other Hindu gods that she used to worship. For her, Jesus was not the cornerstone. He was just a random stone in the building that she tried to build. Now, I don't know what happened to her before she passed away. We're praying that the Lord visited her one last time before she passed away. But she needed Jesus as the cornerstone in her life. Friends, we need to acknowledge that in our lives. And the last thing, the last lesson, number three. Passage, we learn that we are chosen for a purpose. Friends, Christianity, living as a follower of Jesus, has purpose. And this is one of those clear passages in Scripture that clearly tells us what that purpose is. And I'm going to read for you from verse 9, and it says, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. Why? That you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Declaring the praises of Him who called us. Friends, this is why each one of us live. If you are here tonight and you can testify to the fact that Jesus is the cornerstone in your life, it is because of the work that He's done in your life. And He's called you with a purpose, and that purpose is to make Him known. He's the foundation in your life, and you need to make Him known. Someone once, in this passage here, it also says that we are a royal priesthood. And maybe this is a good illustration to show us what it means for us, Jesus. What did a priest do in the Old Testament time? Someone wrote the following. They said, a priest's role was, a priest was required to act as a mediator. He's one who represents the divine being to his subjects and in turn from them to their God. He acts as an ambassador, a chosen vehicle, through whom Yahweh God has chosen to serve the people and represent Him on His behalf. Now, we know that that era of priests are gone. There's only one mediator between Christ, between God and man, and that is Jesus Christ. But when Jesus sends us out, He sends us out with a role that is similar to that of a priest. That we need to in some way help others to meet Jesus. Someone told me it in a beautiful way some time ago, and he said to me, when we are acting as priests in our society where we're living, he says, it's almost as if we're walking on a long beach with our friend Jesus, hand in hand. Now, you can picture that. This is a beautiful illustration. He says, you're walking on this beach with Jesus in your one hand, and on the other side, you're holding the hand of a friend that needs Jesus. You journey along, your role becomes that you will eventually introduce your friend's hand into the hand of Jesus. That's what we do, friends. In the way that we live our lives, many of the people around us do not know the cornerstone in our lives. But what we need to do is we need to hold on to Jesus as our friend, as the cornerstone in our life. But on the other side, we need to hold on to the hands of those who don't know Jesus. So many times in our lives, we shun these people away. We push them away instead of saying to them, come journey with me. Come walk with me. I've got a friend. I've got someone I want to introduce you to. And eventually to come to that point, to take your friend's hand and to put your friend's hand into their heart, into the hand of their Savior Jesus. Friends, I don't know where you are at today in your life. But these are things that we need to consider. The first thing tonight was that Jesus needs to be the cornerstone in your life. Any kind of building, whether you're building horizontally, vertically, or whatever you build, if Jesus is not the cornerstone, you cannot go forward. The second, we need to make a habit of continually coming to the cornerstone in our lives. When we build, we constantly have to go back and see, are we building according to the Master's plan? And we cannot do that if we do not constantly, habitually come to Christ. And then the last thing, are you living His purposes in your life? Are you walking with Him? And are you introducing others to the cornerstone in your life? Friends, I'm going to ask us to close our eyes. I'm going to ask our team in the back there just to play a beautiful song. All of us know this song. But let us make this tonight our prayer as we go into this week. Knowing that there's a solid rock that you and I can stand on and build on. Friends, this foundation of Christ is immovable. There's nothing that can shake that. But we need to hold on to Him and build on Him. Let us close our eyes and then I'm going to ask them to play that song for us.
Jesus, love, and righteousness.
If that is what you declare tonight in your life, I want to invite you to stand with me as I pray for you, that we stand tonight on Jesus, the solid rock. Anyone that wants to stand tonight, just as a declaration that He is the cornerstone in your life. Let us all stand together, declaring that tonight. Jesus, we thank you for who you are to us, the cornerstone in our lives. And we declare that tonight, that we are standing on solid ground when we are built into this building standing on you. Lord, and we declare as well tonight that anything other than you is sinking sand. We want to build our lives on you, and help us in this week as we go out, as we worship you, as we come to you, the living stone, that we will know, that we will know, that we'll know that we build on solid, solid rock. We thank you for that. Thank you for the amazing work of grace that you've done for us on the cross. And that each one of us here tonight can stand on that tonight and not on the sinking sand of our own lives. We need you, and we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless.